All right, we're going to do part two now of Jesus is, and then there's a blank. Jesus is a blank. We started this last week, and you know, something that I was thinking about is the idea of how important is it to really know truth? And are there different truths for different people? Or can there only be one truth for all mankind? And I don't really think anybody really wants to get it wrong, do we? You know, it depends where you're predisposed at of how you approach truth. And we're going to find out what is truth. I'm going to read a couple passages that I started with last week. You know, Matthew 16:15, it says, "And he said to them, but who do you say that I am?" Jesus was talking to his followers, and there's been a lot of rumors going around about who he was, because he is going around kind of messing with people's minds, healing people. He had raised people from the dead, cast out demons, you know, doing all these things. So there's a lot of rumors going around about who he was and why he came. So then he asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And then, you know, Simon Peter had the correct answer, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then I looked at John chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, and Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a bunch of religious people who really didn't know God that good. They kind of knew him in their own way. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Okay, we looked at the fact that when Jesus made that statement, it really offended a lot of people. Because that statement means, "I am God," meaning he's the pre-existent one. And for somebody to do that, it was heresy. So they were going to kill him. They didn't really know who he was and why he came. And then the passage that we're going to look at, a springboard passage, was John 14:6. It says, "Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you for the anointing that was on the worship, just to break our minds down and the bondage that comes in to try to make us focus on wrong things. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look at a couple things. We're going to look at three different things. What is truth? Where is truth? And who is truth? So the first point we're going to look at today is, what is truth? You know, dealing with things over the years like I've been pastor. Matter of fact, today is the 23rd year anniversary of when we started the church. So 23 years ago today, we were over at the high school in the multi-purpose room. That was our first service. And, you know, things have changed a lot in our culture in the last 23 years. You know, a lot of times, you know, things kind of stay strong and stuff, but we're having a lot of issues in our culture, in our country, about where we want to get truth and what truth is. And today we're going to see the idea of difference between opinion versus truth. Matter of fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." See, we all think we know the truth, don't we? Nobody wants to really admit we're wrong. But the fact is, there can only be one truth, and we're going to try to explore that and get to that. See, when it comes to truth, our opinion doesn't matter. You know, we always ask, you know, "This is what I think." You know what I'm saying? "This is what I think." And then you run into somebody that don't think like you think. Well, then what happens? Usually either butt heads, or maybe you're married to somebody like that. How many? Me and my wife are opposites. So our opinions are different sometimes on a lot of different things, but we get along, you know, praise God. But the idea is that when we come to life and what finding out what truth really is, you know, our opinion really doesn't matter. One of the greatest pains, how many like to finally find out that you're wrong? Isn't that hurts, don't it? You know, is when you find out you've been telling something and you fight it tooth and nail, and this is the way it is. Then all of a sudden there's the big reveal, and you were wrong. And that hits you right upside the head, don't it? It really hurts. See, it's one thing to be wrong, but it's another thing to be dead wrong. To be wrong when you die. And that's why we need to make sure in this life that we understand what truth is and how we appropriate it and bring it into our life, because truth is usually influenced by perspective. Okay, some of you may be directionally challenged, but if I tell you today that to my right is north, that is correct, in case you were wondering. That's my perspective on how I see things. But to your right, it is not north. To your left is north. To your right is south. See, it all depends on how you look at things sometimes. And when it comes to the importance of being able to understand the truth of God's Word and what it means for eternal life and how we enter into that, we have to really make sure we settle a few things in our mind. Now, I believe most people would probably say that I believe the Word of God, and that's good. But the fact of the matter is, if you deal with a lot of people out of this building, out into the world system, most truth stems from philosophy. And see, this has been going on for a long time. I've been saved over 30 years. When I first got saved, now it wasn't new to me, it had been around, but New Age thinking. Now, New Age thinking back in the day was pretty out there. You could really tell it. But what's happened, what I've noticed over the years, is the fact that that thinking, that philosophy, has infiltrated our minds. And it's really predominant in our school system, where it's causing us to think at things in the wrong way. And it makes us value our opinion higher than God's Word. And that's when we get into trouble. Because there can only be one true answer. And last week, we looked at the idea there is only one way. And as I said, most truth today in our culture is philosophy. Remember in John chapter 18, 38, Jesus had been, you know, having a rough night. You know what I mean? He'd been drug around, he'd been beaten, you know, and different things, and then arrested and different things. And then it was going to get a little bit worse coming up. But in John 18, 38, Pontius Pilate, who was the leader, for a representative there, he said, "What is truth?" when he was looking at Jesus. And the sad thing is, he was looking truth in the face and he could not recognize it. And see, that's what happens to us sometimes. We can be looking right at truth, the truth of God's Word, but we don't want to recognize it and we want to stay away from it. See, he had a tough act just like we do, okay? We live in a secular culture. And so we have Christian values in our heart, right? But also, we have values as an American, because we live in the United States of America, right? So, we have to live in a world where we've got to make those things kind of mesh together. See, what's legal in the United States isn't really maybe the best thing when it comes to God's Word, if you know what I'm saying. And see, Pilate here, he had to submit to Roman law, because he was a representative of Rome. Then he also had to, Benz, he was working with the Jews, he had to know a little bit about Jewish law and be able to walk that tightrope, and then here comes Jesus. Totally out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, "I came to testify of the truth." And here you had the Jews wanting to kill him, and the Romans didn't want Jesus, in the sense, coming in, because there can only be one king, and that was Caesar. So Pilate had to deal with that. And I think sometimes you and I, as we live in this world, we go out into the world system and we have to, you know, navigate through that and to be able to deal with a lot of different things and how we can handle it. And the idea is that do we really believe in absolute truth or subjective truth? Now, I've worked with young people for quite some time, and I'll be honest, absolute truth is something that many people don't want to admit. They don't want absolute truth. They want to believe that, you know, it's subjective to our culture on how we interpret the world around us now, and we try to integrate the idea of what we believe about God. And the sad thing is, it's not totally the same as God's Word. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ today. And that's why we need to revive ourselves and to get back to where God wants us to be. Because as we understand that, that's going to be the safest thing to be. Now, is Scripture inspired by God? You know, here's what I ask. I've ran into a lot of people that say, "I'm a Christian," but then they don't believe that the Bible is true. My head just explodes. How can you be a Christian? Because the word Christian comes from the Bible. It comes from Jesus Christ. So how can you really be sure that you're saved if you don't believe that God's word is true? I think that's a fair question. And that's a question that we have to settle in our heart, because we have a lot of people that don't believe that that's the truth, and that gets us in trouble. And in defining truth, first, I grabbed a couple things that I read about what truth is not. Truth is not simply whatever works. This is philosophy of pragmatism. You know, an ends versus the means approach. You know, it can appear to work, but in the truth, it's wrong. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news can be true. Has anybody ever had bad news that was true? Nobody wants bad news. That's why they just want to hear the good news. Truth is not what the majority says. 51% of a group can still reach a wrong conclusion, right? Truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can still be wrong. Truth is not how we know. Truth is what we know. And truth is not simply what is believed. A lie that's believed can still be a lie. Truth in an unfiltered, what it really means is to unhide or hide nothing. That's truth. I'll be honest. One of the things that really bugs me is when somebody lies to me. Have your kids ever lied to you? That's one of the things that probably irritates most parents the most, I would imagine. You know, that and stealing, and I'm sure that we could go on a long list. Kids are getting real nervous right now here, right? They're going, But the idea of lying. But see, when we tell the truth, you never have to remember, because it's always there. You always know what it says. And see, it's always open and available for all to see. See, I remember when I was confronted with the truth finally. I was around 24 years old when I got saved. I had multiple beliefs. I believed in a lot of different ideas and different things. As you know my testimony, I went to church a little as a kid, then I fell away. And all along the way, I started, you know, getting all these weird ideas about what truth was and what God was about and what the Bible was about. Well, then finally, when I bought a Bible, you know, like I've always said, what really drove me to God, I figured after I'd tried a lot of things and I could never find fulfillment, I went and bought a Bible because I believed that if God's true and the Bible's true, then I ought to be doing that. So I went and bought a Bible. Started to read it. Didn't understand a lot of it. But I started on a journey to find truth, because even though I was lost and had a lot of weird beliefs, I always believed that God's word was true. See, I'm a generation or two back that I don't have that doubt in my mind that God's word is real. Maybe it was ingrained to me as a kid, and due to my age, that never did come on my radar where I ever doubted God's word. Well, now, 30-some years later, we're dealing with culture where people doubt the validity of God's word. And if you're going to have a real honest discussion or debate about God, you have to find a common ground. And if you're going to try to talk to somebody about, you know, God's word, and they don't believe it's true, that poses a little bit of problem. That's why it needs a little more prayer on what we need to do. So that's why we need to really settle this. So, but the idea that when I found out, God's truth didn't condemn me, but it liberated me. God's truth didn't put me down, but it picked me up. And that's what God wants to do to you today. God doesn't want to condemn you. Maybe we're living wrong, or maybe we're doing things wrong, or maybe we're thinking wrong. God didn't come to put us down. God came to pick us up. And that's how he loves us. All we have to do to yield to his truth. So the next point I want to see is, where is truth? You know, where have we chosen to get our point of reference? Everybody needs a point of reference. You know, when we're out in the timber or we're out doing things, or especially if you're out in a body of water, you need a point of reference and you really get off course. You know, and your point of reference in life is probably one of the biggest and most important decisions you're going to have to make. You know, a lot of people like man's philosophy, and they read a lot of books like that, or some people believe all religions are true. But you're going to have to sort through that and find out what's really real. And see, the point of reference is what we measure from. Now, I want to ask us a question here. Do we interpret the world through the lens of the Bible, or do we interpret the Bible through the lens of the world? What I mean is, when we read the scripture, are we taking philosophy and what culture says is legit or true? And so God's word has to say it this way. Or do we look at the Bible and we look at culture and say culture is off course? And I believe the Bible's true. So what God says about certain situations or circumstances, we're not going to go into those today. But we need to look at that, and that's the most liberal. You know, it sounds like, well, that's kind of rigid. But I'll tell you what, it's so good not to have to wake up every day and wonder what you believe. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you turn on the news and, you know, they tell us what we're supposed to believe, right? You know, one thing that really bugged me, and I want to go into too much of this, but I just can't get out of my head. Oh, several months ago, it talked about the problem down in Venezuela, okay? There's an evil dictator down there, and he's not treating his people good. So they had an election anyway. I don't want to go into it. So the new guy was supposed to be in, but the other guy don't want to go, and so they had a lot of problems. And then for about a week, that was all the news was talking about. That was the most important thing that needs to get settled. Well, now they've moved on. He's still leading that country. The people are still being persecuted. But see, the news, it's not on the front row no more, or front burner. See, we're forced by whatever place we get our information from, whether it be fake news, real news, whatever. That was a joke. I don't get nobody revved up here. But the idea of, they tell us what to think about. See, that's why we need to make sure we stay in God's Word. Because God's words helps us to understand how we're supposed to look at culture and what we're supposed to do. We always love sinners. God loved us. I mean, God loved me when I was a sinner. It would be wrong for me not to say God loves somebody else because they sin. Right? So we want God to love us, but then we don't give other people the same, you know, grace. No, I believe God loves us all. But nevertheless, when we look at it, we need to understand what God says is sin and how do we approach that. You know, is God's word the boss in our life? I think that's a good question. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and we're going to get into this a little bit, not much. It says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. As sure as there's a God, there's a devil. And see, what we have to understand, I don't like to, you know, but like a puppet master, the devil tries to put thoughts, and we live in a system, the world system. The system that we live in right now is not dominated by the thought processes of Jesus Christ and God's Word. There's a devil, and he has infiltrated, and he's moved on people's minds, and he causes them to think a certain way, and it's contrary to God's Word. And see, that's what we deal with as a Christian. We're bound by God's laws in a sense. God wants us to follow His ways, but yet we live in a system, the world system, because, you know, God bless America. I love the system that we have as far as our country, how it does business and things. But I cannot say that our country is governed by God's ways. The enemy has come in, and he causes people to fall and stumble. And see, what I'm old. I'm 60 now. I've been around a while. Back in the day, you know, this may freak a few people out, but people went to church 3 times a week. Can you believe it? 3 times a week. When I got saved, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's just the way it was. No problem. But culture's changed. And see, I'm not saying we have to go back to 3 services. You guys are going, whew. But I'll be honest, life was easier for a pastor then. Because back then we didn't have to entertain. All we had to do was explain, if you know what I'm saying. And the Word of God did its work. But I'll be honest, the benefit of having the 3 services and being exposed to God's Word that much, it helped us to live a strong Christian life. And I really believe that we've lost some of that. Now, there's other ways you can stay strong and, you know, getting in the Word yourself and, you know, doing all those things, and that's important. But, you know, the worst thing about a lie is also a problem is a half-truth. See, that's when the devil comes in and he uses a partial thing. Like a half-truth would be God is only love, but He's not just. Meaning God is love, meaning you can do anything you want, you can go anywhere you want and do anything you want. You can. It's a free country. That's part of America's laws. But once you're a Christian, the Bible says you're bought with a price, and that we're supposed to glorify God with our body. So you got to try to figure those things out, how they merge together. Because twisted truth is one of the biggest dangers the church faces. Because we need to make sure that we're going all out. Now, if you would pray one prayer when you wake up every day, just say, God, turn me on fire for you. Just turn me on fire. You know, whatever it takes, Lord. You know, I want to have that fire. And I'll be honest, you know, it's hard to maintain that fire. You got to keep it poked every now and then. So truth is something. Now, today, we get a lot of our influence from social media. Not all of it's true. Got to be careful. Like I said, the world system tells us how to think. Have you ever been persecuted at work or with your friends because you take a Bible stance? You know, I remember right after I got saved, I'm one of those people that when you get into something, you just get into it. And once I got saved, you couldn't beat me away from church with a stick. I mean, they tried. Get out of here. Go home. You know, I just loved it. Just wanted more. And I'd go to work and I'd tell people what I learned, and how many knows not everybody wants to hear that. You know what I mean? I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of knowledge back then. So one of the guys I worked with says, sounds to me like you're brainwashed. I says, no. I just washed my brain. Amen? There's a difference. See, God's word goes in and it starts to change the way that we think. You know, maybe you feel like you're a victim today. You know, maybe life hasn't really been fair to you. Maybe some bad things have happened to you. And you have that victim mentality. And so you view all of life through those problems. I want to tell you today that God's word can change the way you look at life and change the way you think, because it did for me. As you put the word of God in, it pushes out that bad thinking and all those things. And it starts to make you feel like you're a victor now. You can walk in the truth of God's word. And the greater one that lives inside of you is inside of you right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you don't have to bow your knee to the devil. You don't have to bow your knee to the world system, because that power of God is inside of you. Yes, there's going to be battles. People's not going to like you all the time. But as long as you preach the truth in love, you're going to make an impact on this nation and to be able to make a difference in this lost and dying world. The reason why truth is so important is the fact that, you know, when we get into the truth, it bears the right kind of fruit. See, when you're living a lie, it bears that kind of fruit. When we live truth, it bears the fruit that God wants us to have so that the world can, you know, enjoy it. See, fruit is really for other people. You know, if we're walking around as a jerk, you know, it hurts us, but really it hurts other people, don't it? But if you're walking around bearing fruit for Jesus Christ and that you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, then all, you know, people's just starting to say, hey man, you know, I want what you got. You know, I see the glory of God working in you. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. One of the things, like I mentioned about the people of Venezuela, you know, they're in bondage right now to a system that is oppressing them and holding them down. And that's not much different from the system the devil has tried to emplace on people of God today, trying to hold people back. God wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to walk in that liberty that Jesus Christ came to give. But the Bible says you must know the truth. That word knows, and you need to experience it for yourself. We need to know Jesus. We need to know that He's the greater one and that He has come to set us free. As I mentioned earlier about humanistic thought, the New Age theology, it's infiltrated our minds. It's infiltrated our thinking. One thing about humanistic thought, though, it will empower you. You know, one of the greatest money makers to write a self-help book. You know what I'm saying? You make a lot of money, you know, on a self-help book. But see, it's about humanistic power. But see, humanistic power can never stand against the devil. You can never stand against Satan on your own power. It takes the word of God. It takes the truth in God's word. And then to do that, then we can start to walk in that kind of freedom. But it comes by absolutes, and I challenge us today. Believe God's word is true, and it's the final answer. And I think you're going to win. Last point is, who is truth? You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, correct? Now, Jesus said here, you remember the definite article was in front of those words? Last week we looked at Jesus is the only way, right? All the other religions are false. I just said it again. You know, I didn't get too much hate mail last week. But the idea is Jesus is the only way. As far as we're concerned, if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible's real, as far as you're concerned, Jesus is the only way back to the Father. There is no other way. Muhammad can't get you there. Buddha can't get you there. All these other things cannot get you there. Jesus is the only way. That's what that says in the Greek language. Okay, now it says Jesus is the only truth, meaning there's no other truth outside of him. He came to testify of the truth. And that's why we need to understand the importance of who Jesus Christ is. And that's why, you know, when people, you know, you don't hear them cussing Buddha or cussing all these other things. You know, they make Jesus out to be a cuss word, don't they? The enemy will try to do anything he can to put down Jesus, to hold him back. Now, Jesus told Pilate he came to testify, like I mentioned. Now, science can only test theories, but Jesus tests the motives of men's hearts based on the truth of his word. This is painful sometimes, just to be upfront. You know, the truth of God's word. See, anybody, we can judge each other. We're not supposed to do that, right? Okay. We can judge each other by how I see you act. You know what I mean? You know, if you're slapping your wife around, I judge you after I take you out back. You know what I'm saying? Have a little discussion. Or whatever the case may be. But Jesus goes beyond our actions, and the truth of God's word judges our heart. And see, that's what brings change into our lives and causes us to be a successful Christian and to bear that fruit that remains. I don't want my fruit to rot. I want my fruit to remain. But it all comes by knowing him, and it's important to know that Jesus is the truth. And, you know, sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth will always set you free. And once we understand the idea of what Jesus came to do, see, 2 + 2 = 4, in case some of y'all were wondering, you know what I mean? But faith in Jesus' finished work will also set us free every time. Just every time you add up 2 + 2 = 4, faith in Jesus Christ will set you free from sin. I guarantee it 100%. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we need to put our faith in God's Word. God's Word doesn't change. Culture has changed. Look back to especially some of you that are older. Look back how things were 20, 30 years ago. Look how they are now. Things have changed. But God's Word has always stayed the same. Jesus Christ has always stayed the same. He's the anchor for our soul. That's what we need to grab a hold of. Because in an ever-changing world, we need an absolute in our life. And that's why we need to put our trust and faith in Him. See, when we walk in the truth, we will base our decisions on God's Word. And that's the most important thing that we can do. I want to close with a scripture. 3 John chapter 3 and first, there's only one chapter. 3 John verse 3 and 4. It says, I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. And think about yourself as a parent. You know, you want your children not to live a lie or to be a liar. You want your children to walk in the truth. How much more does our Heavenly Father want the people that He sent His Son to die for to walk in the truth of His Word? I encourage you, decide today that what the Bible says is true and I'm going to live my life by it. Sink or swim, I'm going to live my life by it. Let's pray.